Today's show is brought to you by Castwave Studios' Amazon page. Go to castwavestudios.com and click the boldly going shopping tab and search for everything from Apple iPads to zebra striped Snuggies. Oh, it's so cozy. This supports the studio and helps keep the lights on. Click the boldly going shopping tab at castwavestudios.com.
Boldly Going Nowhere is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phone, Kindle Fire, and other devices with Stitcher. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, a smarter way to listen to radio.
The Internet, the final frontier.
Well, hello. You're listening to an interview recorded at the Too Many Games Convention in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Make sure to go to www.castwavestudios.com/events to stay up to date on all of our event coverage. Enjoy.
I'm Justin Eisenstadt.
I'm Colin Kaepernick.
I'm Sean Holm.
I'm Brian Massey.
And I'm Jordan Hazelwood.
And you just got to the good part. Strap in and sit tight, because we are boldly going nowhere. Hello and welcome to a special episode of Boldly Going Nowhere. I'm Justin Eisenstadt.
I'm Colin Kaepernick.
I'm Sean Holmes.
And I'm Jordan Hazelwood.
And we are recording this episode in a kind of weird warehouse at the Too Many Games convention up in Philly this weekend. And we have a special guest with us today, Mr. James Rolfe, also
Hello.
Known as the Angry Video Game Nerd.
Yes.
So, I believe you mentioned that this is, what, second or third time coming to Too Many Games?
It is. It's the third time.
Awesome. And how would you say it ranks in terms of convention appearances that you've made?
Oh, I think it's a great one because the space is awesome, and they run it really well. And, yeah, I love this one for sure.
Awesome. Well, of course, I have to mention that I and all my other co-hosts are huge fans of your work.
Cool, thank you.
So I think I'm going to have to start with the most important and the most pressing question, and that is, why Rolling Rock? I mean, Yuengling is clearly a superior beer.
It is, but Rolling Rock was cheaper at the time, at least. And it was just a random beer that I chose when I started the episodes. But the funny thing is, I think I remember the first time I ever had Rolling Rock. I went over... Mike Matei's apartment in college, you know, my friend who helps me with the videos a lot of times. So I go over to Mike's apartment and I got a six pack of Rolling Rock and I didn't finish them all. But like then at the end of the night, I think he had a copy of Rygar for me. And there was like one Rolling Rock left or something. So he put them in a bag and he gave them to me and he said, here you go, Rygar and Rolling Rock. And for some reason, I always remembered that, Rygar and Rolling Rock. And then I just decided that Rolling Rock and video games have to go together.
I like that.
Well, let's look at it this way, that there's no NES accessory called the Yuenglinger.
Okay.
That's right.
That was just kismet, in my opinion.
Good point. Have you ever gotten like approached by other beer companies who are like, hey, could you start drinking our beer in your videos?
No. I mean, I've heard before... That beer companies typically associate video games with a kids thing, so they don't want to put alcohol with like gaming. But you know, most gamers nowadays, you know, it's like it's all ages really. So I don't know if there's any beer companies that want to do something like that. If they did, I think that'd be awesome. You know,
yeah.
Like if they made like a I don't know, angry nerd beer or something. I don't know.
I'd drink that.
Yeah.
It's a crucial demographic they're missing out on.
Yeah, maybe that's your next project is get your own brew.
Get your own brew. You fuck.
that's what it's called. That's what it says.
Yeah,
right on the
label. Every
they
the
can't
label.
Sell it in most stores unless it's barred out. So.
Yeah.
Okay. If you were stranded on a desert island and inexplicably you had power and a television, what one console and video game would you play while you're waiting to get rescued?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I always say Zelda Link to the Past was my favorite game. Mm-hmm. So I suppose I could probably play that over and over again.
All right.
Wait a minute. Is there any kind of, like, package maybe? Maybe some kind of, like, variety pack game or something? I'm trying to think of, like, a bundle.
Oh, yeah. Maybe one of those old, like, Tecmo arcade classics? Or
yeah,
something.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, something.
Or, like, the Sega Genesis collection I have for PS3.
Oh,
yeah. It has, like, 55 games on it.
Mm. Ah. Yes. Or maybe one of those, like, you know, like, on NES, sometimes they have, like, the bootleg, like, 60 games in one or something like that.
Well, yeah, and also keep in mind, in this scenario, because it's completely arbitrary, if you're going to go with a newer console, keep in mind that the TV on this island is a shitty CRT tube TV. So
you can't take advantage of the high definition.
You cannot take advantage of the high refresh rate. Okay, follow-up question. Would you give a name to said console and form a strong emotional bond with it, a la Wilson and Castaway?
Yeah, I think I would go insane. Especially if the game was Gilligan's Island or something.
Was there a Gilligan's Island game?
There was. Yeah. It was on NES. I think it was actually called The Adventures of Gilligan's Island.
We just saw it.
Yeah,
like,
we were looking
not
at
less
the
than 10 minutes
oh, really?
Ago. At the NES some game? Stuff,
oh, really?
One of them
try
is
playing it.
Did you? Have you done a review of that game?
I can't even do it because it's that bad.
Like, really? That's,
give it a try.
It's not E.T. bad, but it's... You know.
It's a different kind of bad. It's
a worse kind of
bad. What was the game we were talking about a couple weeks ago that I was surprised existed?
Home Improvement.
The Home Improvement
the
game.
The Home Improvement game.
Oh, yeah.
Tim Taylor, Staple Guns, Dinosaurs.
Yeah, you're fighting dinosaurs because they couldn't come up with enough plot for a Home Improvement game.
I'm fairly certain it was intended as a Jurassic Park knockoff type game, and they just thought that the license would help it along.
Oh, or they're like, and someone beat us to the Jurassic Park license. What license can we get? Well, we've got Home Improvement, and we've got Silver Spoons.
And, of course, because Tim Taylor would say that a real man doesn't need instructions, that was their play to get out of actually printing instruction manuals for the game.
Are you serious?
There was just a slip in the case that said real men do not need instructions.
Wow.
That's funny.
That's kind of amazing, actually. I wonder if the sound effect was just over and over again.
That would be a great sound effect.
So this is a question I've personally been very curious about ever since I saw the Wizards Super Mario Bros. 3 review, which might...
Yeah.
Well, that and Bible games are probably my favorites, but... So, the battle between Super Mega Death Christ and the unholy abomination spawned from Super Mario Bros. 3, from what dark corner of your fractured psyche did that thing crawl out of?
I have no idea. We were, Mike and I were playing the game, and then, you know, we started pointing out certain things that were evil, and then, you know, it was like, look at that, there's a pentagram there, but then we were just, like, you know, screwing around, it was just like... not being serious at all, but then later on I pieced it all together for the video and was like, oh yeah, this will be a great video. And then I went really far with it, where like now the game becomes possessed and it's a possessed NES. And then what really helped was that I was really sick when I made that episode.
Oh really?
By the time I got to the editing phase of it, I was really sick and I lost my voice completely. And then my voice started to come back. And then it sounded like The Exorcist, like, you know, it sounded like Linda Blair in The Exorcist. And it was like it was perfect. And I was like, I have to record this now while my voice sounds like this.
Yeah, strike while the iron is hot.
Yeah.
Who's doing the voice of the Mega Death Christ? Fuckers!
Oh, yeah, Super Mecha Death Christ. Well, that was me. Yeah, that's another just crazy idea. I don't know where it came from.
Oh, it's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Sometimes inspiration comes from divine or the opposite sources. Yeah. what review would you say was the most fun to do? Was it that one?
That was definitely a fun one. It was a tough one too. There was a lot of them. They were all fun in different ways. I mean, like Fester's Quest was kind of fun because I dressed up as like, you know, a bunch of different characters.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy Castle one was kind of fun because I got a pie thrown in my face and we did stuff like that. So, you know. But also, yeah, But you know, also it's a lot of work. The more stuff like that you put in, it's easy to like overestimate or underestimate, because you know you start out with the idea and then you think like, oh, this is going to be a lot of fun, and it is, but then you get over your head and then it's like, oh crap, it's a month later, I'm still working on this thing.
When you first started doing the show, did you already plan that you were going to do these kind of crazy slapstick fights and these weird gags?
No, it kind of like started to burn out in the middle of like 2006 for a while, because they started to become very like, just, you know, I just play the game and everything, but I was really under the weather, and I started to like, you know, like lose touch with it a little bit, and then I did the Friday the 13th episode,
mm-hmm.
and then I was just, that kind of like brought it all back for me. So the Friday the 13th episode, like, that one was just like so much fun, and yeah, got myself back into it. It was just kind of like a new direction, and then I started doing that kind of stuff from time to time. It just depends on the game.
Yeah,
like approach each one differently. You know, like if it's a horror character or something like that,
just try to have fun with it.
Yeah.
So do you have a cutoff for what you consider classic games? Because I know you have done some like N64 games or a little of that generation, but
If there was a cutoff for me, it would probably be Nintendo 64, or PlayStation, or kind of the, you know, both of them, because Nintendo 64 was like right after like I graduated high school, and then actually it was close. It was like I think it was still out, but then I went to college, and then I just kind of fell out of video games for a little while, and then so it's a, like a subjective thing. So to me, it's like anything after Nintendo 64 is like new to me. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
If there was one N64 game that I would personally like to see a review of, although I know that the list of shitty older games is mostly limitless. Did you ever play this game on N64 called Glover?
No.
Oh my god, I was thinking like, is he going to say Glover?
We got the mind meld thing going.
I played that game.
No, I rented that game back when people actually still rented games from actual brick and mortar stores.
Hollywood Video.
I was like so pissed that I wasted even the couple dollars to rent it for a weekend. You are an animate glove, just an anthropomorphic. Basically,
so it's like the Yellow Pages thing.
Yeah, you're basically playing the mascot from Hamburger Helper. And
I'm pretty sure he looks more like Mickey Mouse's glove.
Yeah, okay. I
was hoping it was going to be Danny Glover.
I know, right?
or Crispin Glover.
I'm getting too old for this shit. That's later in the game,
or,
right?
Or now you may be a newer version of Donald Glover.
Try That'd to break out of the straitjacket. Wait.
But yes, a Danny Glover game that may be just like a first-person shooter, and it's just called Glover. And you have to stop every like 30 seconds to catch your breath because you're getting too old for this shit. And there's actually a meter that says too old for this shit.
Yeah.
Then you run a video store, and then you have Mos Def be your co-host.
Yeah,
remember?
And then you got to fight the Predator at the end. That's like the final boss.
Imagine the second level for Crispin Glover of the game would be holding out for twice as much money as Michael J. Fox.
Yeah, it's not a very exciting level.
No.
You're just kind of waiting around doing a lot of drugs.
I don't know what would be scarier as a last level for Danny Glover, having to fight the Predator or having to deal with Gary Busey.
Ooh.
I think Busey's the last level. I think, yeah, Busey would be the last
those
level.
Those teeth,
the Predator.
Well, you think the Predator is the final boss, but then they pull a 180 on you, and Busey was controlling it all the time.
And then it's the glove ball from...
I almost made it to Gary Busey, but he ate my endocrine system, and I died. It was game over.
It was a really dumb game. You bounce a ball, and your whole mission is to escort a rubber ball through just the most absurd level designs.
I played that for like an hour at an ex-girlfriend's house, and I said to myself, wow, this is sub-Croc in The Legend of the Gobos.
Yeah, from what you're describing, I'm imagining something that doesn't look Nintendo 64. Or looks way less advanced in my mind.
It looks
pretty accurate.
Bubsy 3D.
Yeah.
The world was a lot of uniform, triangular, non-textured polygons.
I'm glad we have you here, Jordan, to pull these deep pulls here, because I would not have come up with Croc and the Legend of Gobos or Bubsy 3D right off the top of my head.
I mean, forget
you're
Bubsy.
Welcome.
You didn't even have to get the 3D. You say Bubsy, I'm already out.
I clocked out.
What of, like, newer, like, let's say current generation systems, what is the shittiest game that you have played in recent
memory? The shittiest game.
In terms of recent games.
Am I going to go there? Yeah.
You can.
I think Big Rigs, I think. I mean, a lot of people have mentioned that game to me and how, like, flawed it is. And then I tried it one time, and I was like, you got to be kidding me.
Oh, was that the one where the trucks were, like, flying and flipping
like,
through the environment?
I've thought about trying to do a video of it, but I don't even know how I would do it, because it's just nothing but... all you do is exploit glitches when you play the game, because you can't win. You can't lose. I think that it's like you always win the race, no matter what.
And it says you're a winner.
Yeah.
You apostrophe R E winner.
Well, yeah.
Like I'd rather it say a winner is you. At least that's
at least
that's acceptable syntax.
Yeah. At least it's sending out positive vibes, I guess. I
mean, it's passive voice, yes, but still.
Okay, so. Another question. At this point, how many different versions of the AVGN theme would you say there have been? There are, like, a million, it seems like, covers of the song.
Yeah, all the fan covers. Yeah, it's there's way too many to keep track of now. It's crazy. But I guess anything, like, musical on the internet really catches on. Like, people love to do, like, their own versions of things, and I've heard that the nerd tune in, like, every kind of style imaginable, and it's really awesome. Like for me and Kyle, who, you know, like, performed the song, like, it's who I wrote it with, you know, like, he loves it too, like, hearing all that. And it's almost like overwhelming in a way, like, not to be able to keep track of it, just knowing that I haven't heard every version of it that's there.
Yeah,
because at one point we tried to like catalog and, like, link every single one, and now it's gotten, like, too out of hand.
Yeah, you'd need someone would have a full-time job just trying to compile all the different versions. Have you seen many cute girl playing ukulele versions of the song? Because I swear every other video on YouTube is a girl playing a ukulele covering, like, I don't know, Pearl Jam or some shit.
Oh,
like,
really?
Yeah. It's the most absurd covers on ukulele.
Huh.
And actually, apparently, now that reminds me that Eddie Vedder himself actually recorded an album of all Pearl Jam songs played on ukulele.
Really?
Yes. Eddie Vedder, I guess, didn't have a lot going on at the time.
Oh, okay. That's pretty cool.
Okay, so let's talk about the movie that you've been working on, because I know that's basically been your main focus over the last couple of months, right?
Yeah. It's like it sucked me dry of everything.
What were some of the biggest challenges of making this film?
Everything, really. It's just like putting it all together, because it's such a big, ambitious project for, you know, an independent film. But it's like, you know, such a great opportunity to have something that's like fan funded and, like, you know, everybody like helped us make it. So, it's really a great, you know, position, you know, to be in. So we kind of, like, we just try to make it the best we can, you know, with what we got. So, I don't even know where I'm going with this, but it's just like the hardest thing about it was just like, trying to, like the scheduling, just like every day being in a different place and knowing that any possible thing could go wrong. You know, like they always do on film sets.
Murphy's Law.
Yeah, and if anything goes wrong, it's like there's no way you don't have a second day for anything that we did, because every day was like back to back, and like every spot that we filmed in, we had to, you know, we had a day rate, we had to be out of there like in a day, and you know, it was like if we don't get the shots, then we're fucked. You know, we can't go back or anything, and you know,
So for those who might not know about it or might not have been following the progress of the film, what can you tell us kind of what it's about, what the deal with it is?
Yeah, I mean, we just wanted to put the nerd character in a feature film and kind of throw a bunch of different genres at it, like sci-fi and adventure, and kind of make it really silly and over the top. And like the whole, you know, like story revolves around like the nerd's most hated game, which is E.T., you know, which... you know,
so.
Yeah, which is, you know, most requested game of all time for the nerds. So it was just perfect to have it for, you know, be, you know, the subject in the movie, because it's like we're coming up on the 30th anniversary of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's a story about how it got buried in the New Mexico desert.
Yeah.
I think 2 million copies got,
They physically produced, like, millions more copies of the game than there were existent Atari 2600s.
That's funny. I didn't hear that.
Yeah, I remember, because we went to the Art of Video Games exhibit in Washington, D.C. not too long ago, and Nolan Bushnell was one of the panelists there, and he was talking about that whole thing with the Atari and how basically E.T. sort of sunk it.
Yeah, Nolan Bushnell is a surprisingly entertaining, compelling guy. He has some crazy stories about strippers and...
Yeah.
Missing out on Apple stock and...
Yeah, interesting guy. So when is the film expected to release, or if it's on the internet, I guess, I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
If it's a release, but
I mean, we're trying to show it in a live venue first, and then, you know, it'll eventually go to DVD and hopefully Blu-ray if we can get, you know, that worked out. And, you know, then maybe it'll also be like a digital download, because that seems to be the direction things are going nowadays.
And then finally, TNT, where all movies go to die.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, so it's going to be like a year, maybe. It's a really slow process. Yeah, it's safe to say a year.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So this is kind of just a general question for your fans and our fans and just people who are trying to make things and create a spot on the internet. But what would you say is kind of the secret to carving out your niche on the internet?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's like finding a truth, like something that people laugh at things because it's true.
Mm-hmm.
Like what people always tell me, you know, they're like, oh yeah, I saw, you know, your video on Silver Surfer or whatever, and like, oh yeah, that was so true. Like that game was so impossible. I remember playing that, and it's like they remember it too. It kind of brings back memories, I guess. Yeah, that's the pose.
Yeah, it's
rather sad.
I was like, Jordan, it's one of our motifs that we always
visual reference
in
audio podcast
in our podcast.
Yeah, we always got to sneak one in there.
Jordan just kneeled down. It was like looked like a really awkward way of tying his shoes.
Oh, I thought you were like having a stroke or something.
It's the game over screen, the Silver Surfer, that he basically just flies and puts himself half prostrate on his surfboard, and he has the ultimate stance of agony in his body posture. And what's funny is that I own the Essential Silver Surfer, the comic collection that includes his entire 18-issue series run that Jack Kirby drew back in the late 60s. And I'm not even kidding. One out of every six panels looks like that.
Really?
He is that morose. He is that emo. He's that just unsure of himself and racked.
So,
it is his theme.
You wanted to go on the surfboard.
So the game is more true to the comics than I thought.
Well, of course, that was the 60s run. The video game was based after Steve Englehart's 1980s run, in which he cheered the fuck up a little bit. So I don't know. It's a little column A, a little column B.
Someone needs to tell the Silver Surfer to stop listening to The Cure. And
I know. You think I'm hitting
Dark
Cosmic
Rooms.
Powers.
Or The Fray.
But where's the one where he just runs into a wall and dies?
I don't recall that ever happening, actually.
Deleted scenes.
But just all the characters that are in the game, I actually do recognize. Reptile, the Possessor, Mephisto, of course. Mephisto is actually Mephisto, who's most well known for dealing in Spider-Man's marriage.
Hmm.
Yeah.
He was actually introduced as the primary antagonist of the Silver Surfer back in the 60s.
Well, I'm thinking maybe in the Silver Surfer's case, maybe they did originally have it like it is in the video game, and then someone was like, guys, we got to rewrite this. Like, fans are not going to go in for a character who's getting his ass kicked every five panels. Like, if he can't even survive flying around through space yeah. routine patrol.
Like a jack-o'-lantern head, like, hits him in the foot or something, he dies.
Hear the goofy like, scream?
If he hit a surfboard, he dies.
Right.
If he's truly emo, wouldn't he be the tarnished Silver Surfer? Like, he's tarnished like the Silver.
That was bad,
wow,
Sean.
That
but...
was a reach.
I know. Someone save me.
Okay. Well, do any of my other fellow co-hosts have any questions at this point?
I got one quick one. Would you say that you found it easier or more difficult to come up with a complete narrative when you switched to doing the film? Because normally your episodes run between 15 and 20 minutes.
Oh, no. I mean, actually, like, the story all came, like, right away. But it was just a different approach. Hard to describe, but it wasn't, like, so much where the... I mean, it was similar, but I think it may have helped that E.T., the game, had so much of a great story to begin with, and then it was just like, where do you go from there, and then what do I already have that I have in mind that I want to do, and then put it all together, and if it has any fault, it's that we threw too many things into it. It's like, got so many things going on in the mm-hmm. movie, but, you know.
There's yeah. no Reese's Pieces in the video game.
There actually was. Yeah, it was like...
I didn't play it all the way through.
I'm pretty sure yeah,
that's
where
I kind of gave up.
I'm pretty sure that's where the little dots are supposed to be.
Yeah, and if you get enough of them, I'm going to fuck it up right now. I don't remember, but like if you get like 9 of them or something like that, then you give them to Elliot, and then he like gives you a power-up or something like that. So there is
or
a reason.
Cube or something.
Yeah, I can't remember exactly what it is off the top of my head, but... yeah, it definitely does have a purpose in the game.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. If you want to talk about effective product placement, that movie really did make me want to start eating Reese's Pieces.
Yeah.
You know, they offered to M&M's, but they dipped out.
And, yeah. Reese's Pieces are delicious.
And so now Reese's Pieces are, you know, with M&M's.
All right.
More you know.
Cool. Well, I think on that note, unless anybody else has any more questions at this point.
Have you ever captured video game footage with like a Dazzle or a capture card, or have you always used DVRs?
DVRs is like what's you mean just like a just any digital video recorder?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean it's actually a digital 8 camera, if that makes sense, because that's what how I go from the DVD to the computer. So it actually goes from you know, digital to analog and then back to digital, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, because I always wonder, I don't have as much technical knowledge about this stuff, but I know if you, like, just try to point a camera at a TV screen, you're not going to see anything.
The refresh rates are almost always different, so you see, like, interlacing.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many ways, you know, people can record video game footage, but it's like, you know, like, the way I do it is, like, in real time, so it goes into Final Cut's native codec, so it's not going to, like, have to render it every single time I make any kind of edit. So for me, it's a lot easier to do it real time because then I can walk away and, like, get something to eat for once. So.
All right. Well, we don't need to get too technical on this. Just I know whatever you're doing, it works.
It's very technical, yeah. But we all have our own ways and stuff, so.
Right, ways and means. And, I mean, works for us as fans. We love watching the videos. So,
cool.
James, thank you so much for joining us on this episode. Thank you for boldly going nowhere.
Yes.
Boldly Going Nowhere is a Castwave Studios production. For other shows and more, visit castwavestudios.com.